recording at 4:30 on the 20th of 10th 2018. Conversation with Ralph McGarry, also occasionally known as Pat Kiernan.
That's correct.
So, Ralph, tell me, where are you from? What age did you get involved in radio, and how did that all happen?
I'm from Talla. I currently live in Inchicore, but I lived in Talla for 35 years of my life. So I still see myself as a bit of a Tallafornian. How did I get involved with radio, or the interest? The interest came in the mid-80s. I remember Mum and Dad, Santa Claus, got me a tape recorder. And I figured that when you press play and record down together, but pause at the same time, you could then stick in a speaker, and you could, when you spoke into the microphone, your voice would come out of the speaker. So I used to, in my bedroom, have my small little transistor radio and listen to Radio 2. And when the DJ would come on, I would turn Radio 2 off, and then I would speak, and the speaker, as a trailing speaker, would trail down the landing, down the stairs and into the kitchen whilst my mum was making dinner. So instead of kind of singing into a hairbrush, I spoke into I remember in my bedroom, pretending to be a DJ, and it was just that fun. But I remember the radio that I had, and I missed out on an awful lot of radio in the 1980s, because the radio I had was an old one from a granduncle of mine, and it was long wave, medium wave. It wasn't VHF, it wasn't FM. And Dad always listened to the radio when he came home from work, and switched it on. But I couldn't figure out that people were talking about AM, and I had a medium wave radio. And when you're 10 and you can't figure it out, and I'm trying to find these radio stations, do you know, Radio Nova, it was an AM, but I couldn't find it because I didn't have AM. I had a medium wave radio. And when the penny dropped, I was like, geez, I've missed years of this. But anyway, I did figure that out in around 1987, and then tuning in to the stations coming up to the close down as well in 88, and being really involved and interested. The first radio station I called out to was around 1987. It was Talla Community Radio, which broadcast from 3 Green Hills Road, just up the road from, I'm from Talla Village, so, and they were in Talla Village as well. I'm calling in, knocking into that small dilapidated cottage on the top of Green Hills Road, and just seeing what the DJ did, and spending an hour there just watching. But I missed out my opportunity for all of the other bits and pieces. But I was only 14, 15 at the time. But when Millennium 88 came on, that was the first radio station that I'd visited, and was a proper radio station in the back of the GPO, which, of course, it was totally licensed and legal, what have you. But that's where my interest of radio came about. And when Olivia FM did a trial broadcast in November 1991, I think. They were in Capel Street. It was just a 3-day thing. It was one of these kind of RSLs, and I was a part of a quiz team from Talla Community School. And this was small, do you know. It was intimate, and it was doable, and I liked it. So when I kept that in mind, and then Ballyferma College did a summer school, and I signed up for the summer school. And I think Ballyferma has an awful lot to answer for. I think the college is a hive of, it really gives you, it's networking, it gives you the insight, you meet like-minded people, people who've gone before you, they know people, you know, it happens. And from there, from that kind of summer school, I heard about Anne Olivia coming on air, and I was when they got the license in 92, and I was one of the first broadcasters when they went on air. So I started off on legal radio. It was only through Anne Olivia, which is now Dublin City FM, that I discovered, I got a name of a chap who ran NSR in Stillorgan. So I rang him up. He said, yeah, come on out. I was able to say, yeah, I've been on radio before. I've worked on Olivia, and so for you know, whatever, almost until it closed, until NSR closed, I did Saturday nights. Remember, Dad drive, I'd get in the bus out from Tala the 75, and I'd broadcast from 9 till midnight, and Dad would wait outside for me and then pick me up and drive home. And it was from there, when the NSR closed down, I got to meet then guys from the likes of Spirit or Phantom, from Sunset, from and other Mix and other radio stations around. And then when Kiss FM came on air in Terenure, Whitehall Road, again, I did the same slot Saturday night at 9 till 12. And it was from there that things really changed. That it was funny, getting phone call from reminding myself of when I, you know, whatever, 5-6 years previously rang the DJ in Tala Community Radio, can I come in? I got a phone call from a guy in Temple Oak, can I come in? And he came in, and he's now one of my best friends. I consider him still to be one of my best friends, Paul Kavanagh. And it was Paul Kavanagh and Sean Power, through Paul, that I got to get involved with Freedom FM. I remember when Kiss closed down, Paul was bereft. And so Paul wanted to set up a new radio station, which was only up the road up in Temple Oak. And so they set up a radio station in Sean's bedroom, sitting on the edge of Sean's bed, broadcasting to basically a couple of roads. But Paul, I was a few years older than Paul. Paul, I think, kind of looked up to me and asked me to get involved. So I did, but I changed things around. These were all of the 15-year-olds, and I was 20. You know, I was the older one there, and so I was able to. I'd worked in an NSR, and I worked in Kiss, and I worked in other stations. So put a bit of structure onto Freedom FM. At the time, it was a bit of a dance station. Everybody was doing dance. Pulse were doing dance. You know, let's just do Top 40, unadulterated Boyzone, bit of Blur, bit of Oasis. There was a bit of resistance in that, but we stuck with it. And from 95 until the close downs of those pirate stations in around 2003, Freedom was an extremely popular pirate radio station that didn't do dance, didn't do alternative, just did pop music. And it was great fun. And so many people came out of that station who are now working in media or in that industry. It was a community centre. It was a community club. It was a youth club, and it was great fun. From there, then I got involved in the back to Tala Community Radio. I got involved in the steering committee to get a license for Tala Community Radio. They'd already applied twice before and didn't get it. And the third time, I was involved with the steering committee, and I did the presentation. Along with a few others, I think it was in the Royal Hospital Kilmainham with Niall Stokes, who was the chair of the IRTC at the time. And we started off the presentation with a 4 to 5 minute audio piece of what the station could sound like. And I made it in the studios in Ballyfermot Senior College. Again, Ballyfermot comes back into this with an awful lot of my classmates at the time. And it just set the scene for the station. And at the time, community radio stations, Near FM and Dublin South Community Radio and others, they were top heavy in terms of speech and specialist music. We were proposing something totally different. We were proposing, as a community radio station, more music, less talk, which, you know, doesn't fit with what we understood community radio to be. And Niall Stokes asked me why we were going for that 60-40% makeup. And I suggested that, you know, we use the music as the hook, we get people in, and then we'll talk. We got the license, and we went on air then. I was involved in setting up the along, obviously, with others, of course, with the license stations for Tala, which went on for a number of years. I moved on. I was on the board of management of West Dublin Community Radio as well. And then I decided, well, you know, what I liked whilst I was on air, I had finished the business degree, I'd done broadcasting, I'd finished a course in Ballyfermot, but I found my niche, it was an interest, it was, whilst I didn't mind being on air, it wasn't a real love of mine. I liked being off air, but I also liked the, kind of the paperwork, putting the application together, being on the board of management, and having that experience with Talla Community Radio. And also, we did a broadcast when we were in, a licensed broadcast when we were in Ballyfermot. So I put that knowledge together. And in the early noughties, I had applied to the BCI at the time for a temporary licensed radio station for Blessington, Blessington FM. It was a three-day affair. It went really well, extremely well, that I brought it back then two more years, then a third temporary licensed radio station for Kildare called Play. I then helped, which now is my wife, but at the time I didn't know her. There was a woman who was setting up a temporary radio station in Cork as a part of her master's, and she had got wind of me and rang me up, and I helped her put together the license application for Radio On. And then I got a call from a former DJ in Freedom FM, Mike O'Brien, to put together a license application for the 90s Network, which went on air in 2008 and repeated it a couple of times since. So I've been involved with kind of, I can put the I put the license applications together. Talla Community Radio closed, and my wife, myself, and now my wife set up Future FM, which was from the ashes of again a licensed radio station, and Talla FM. So these are Radio Talla. So these were licensed radio stations that I was involved in, that I brought my interest and my knowledge and my training and my education into, and doing, I suppose, the bureaucratic aspect, the license application, that those around me didn't want to do, but someone needed to do it. And I actually really like doing it. So that's what I've been doing. No, I've stepped off and other bits and pieces are happening at the moment. And I'm still involved with the 90s Network, and I assist my wife in making radio documentaries. But so that's, you know, from 1987 all the way up to 2018 in probably a very, very long 5 minutes.
That's amazing. One of the things that obviously comes up when you look back, Freedom was a very popular unlicensed station at the time. Pulse was probably the biggest in the city at the time, but Freedom was a very credible number two. You were renowned for relaying the BBC Radio 1 breakfast show. Sarah Clocks used to give you an occasional nod, I do remember. One of the things that people in unlicensed radio have is they have a story or two which they've polished up over the years. Can you give me one of your unlicensed stories?
Oh, there's quite a few, but the first one comes to mind. I don't know how polished this is, but we were in the back of Sean's house with Freedom, and it got a little bit more successful and popular. And each time Sean would buy a new transmitter, it'd be a little bit more powerful, some, you know, 30 watt or, you know, 50 watt or what have you, which also meant that you needed, you know, the aerial need to be dealt with. And there was a folded dipole which that needed to be hoisted up a little bit further. So we're in, you know, suburban area in Temple Oge, and a call was put out. Paul put a call out to all of us, listen, we're putting up a new mast. So a whole load of scaffolding poles, which were, how would you say, released from a building site, were brought and down like a whole lot of, you know, workmen, hi ho over our shoulders into the back garden of the house, and stapled into the corner of the breeze brick wall. And then it was a case of, Paul, what are we going to do with this? How are we going to do this? And out comes the orange washing line rope, which is tied around the centre of the poles and the top of the poles. And then it was a case of lying them down and bringing them up. So we had a number of people on four corners with these guy wires. Someone in one end of the garden, the other on the other side of the garden. But remember, this was strapped to the back garden wall, which meant then the other two guy wires weren't in the station's property. They were in someone else's property. I remember Paul jumping over the wall and going into the back garden of the neighbour behind the house and hammering the guy wire into their wall and saying, Paul, you can't be doing this. This is someone else's garden. He says, what choice do they have? Well, don't put it up, it'll fall down onto them.
Oh, that is wonderful. Othman Gary, thank you very much indeed. And have a great future in radio. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Walter.